Are you guys hungry? That's what I'm talking about. We are going to have some food after service, but I'm talking about, are you hungry for the Word of God? And hungry for righteousness. Amen? Revelation chapter 12, verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough. And they lost their place in heaven. See, that's what happens when you fight against God.
That's right.
You lose your place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down. That ancient serpent called the devil, or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of His Christ. For the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. They overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them, but woe to the earth.
Wow.
And where do we live?
Earth.
Uh-oh. That means we don't get the rejoice part here. We get the woe.
Come on.
Woe. That's intense. Woe to the earth and the sea. Why? Because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury because he knows his time is short.
Come on.
Let's just lay it out. A lot of people don't even believe in the devil.
That's right.
A lot of people don't believe in God.
Right.
They certainly then don't believe in the devil. You know, the world, and I believe the devil manipulating our world, has done a really good job at desensitizing us.
Yep, that's right.
We're not aware of the devil. We're not even concerned about him throughout the day many times.
Yeah.
He's just this little guy in a red suit with a tail, pitchfork, and horns that comes on up at Halloween and rings the bell and gets a little candy.
Mm. Come on.
But the devil is very, very real if you believe the Bible. If you believe the Scriptures, there was actually war in heaven. Now, war is very intense. We don't even like to talk about war. And you know, I think just recently we celebrated the anniversary of 9/11. Just a few years ago. I remember that morning. I woke up that morning in Syracuse, New York, and I went to the airport. I had a ticket to board a plane at 9 a.m. and fly to Boston, Massachusetts, from upstate New York. And as I was standing in the airport, they said, sorry, sir, this flight's been canceled. Well, gee whiz, well, how come? There's been trouble in New York City airspace. I'm flying to Boston, what's the problem? You see what I mean?
Come on.
Sorry, sir, it's been canceled. Walk down to the cafe in the airport, turn on TV, and I saw the second plane hit the second tower. I saw the first one crumble into itself. And then the second one. I was converted in New York City. I have many friends in the church there. Many that were in and around the towers that day.
Wow.
War had come upon us.
Yep.
Whether we like it or not, we're still going through it at the airports, aren't we? Now the latest one, so you can't even carry liquids in your baggage on the plane. You got to check all the bags. Takes a lot longer at the airport, doesn't it?
Yep.
I don't know how you feel. I'm like, no problem. Whatever we got to do down here to make sure we don't have a problem up there,
yep,
you go right ahead and do your job.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
But we are at war, and we don't like to think about it. Look at Ephesians chapter 6.
Come on.
All right, bro.
Now heaven, well, heaven's doing awesome now because the devil's been kicked out of heaven. Do you know what I'm saying? Imagine being in heaven and every day having the devil in heaven there just accusing brothers and sisters before God.
Come on.
But see, that stress has been released, and some of you know what it's like. Even to be in a church situation where so many of the members of the church are just so critical.
Come on.
Right there?
Yeah.
I mean, gosh, if we're going to be critical of somebody else, we better realize they can be just critical about us.
Yeah.
Who are we? And so I'm fired up to be planting a church here where that's not what we're about.
Right.
We're not at war with each other.
Right.
We're not at war with any humans. We're at war with the devil himself.
Yeah. Come on, bro. Come
Ephesians
on.
Chapter 6.
Come on, bro.
Right now I'm at war with just getting to Ephesians chapter 6. I mean, there it is. All right. Ephesians chapter 6. Let's read here. Verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord. That's what Paul's saying to Ephesians. And in His mighty power, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and you know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
And against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full, not half, amen, the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, and that's a when, not an if.
Yep.
Maybe you had some days of evil last week. There were 7 days. Chances are there was some evil. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
When you get up in the morning and you just think things are hunky-dory, and then all of a sudden, bam.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
Come on.
When that day of evil comes, and many of them are coming, because you've got to go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God.
Right.
How do you take your stand?
Come on.
If you don't have your armor on, you can't.
Right.
Put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. Guys, we're in a spiritual war.
Yeah. Come on, bro.
But Satan has succeeded in leading the whole world astray so that there's not even an awareness of a spiritual war.
Right.
So many people that attend churches every Sunday live Monday to Saturday like there's no war. There's no battle going on. So why would I need to get up in the morning and put on armor?
Wow.
Yep.
It's not like any flaming arrows are going to come at my face today.
Come on.
You see what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Come on. Come on, bro.
Put on the full armor. You know, one of the things I've understood, talking to people that understand military strategy, one of the first things you got to do to be at war, or be successful at war, is to understand who your enemy is. Who's our enemy? We already read about it in Revelation. It's the devil. That ancient serpent. Satan. Whatever you want to call him. This is our enemy. Look at 1 Peter.
Come on.
Come on,
bro.
1 Peter chapter 5. What's the first word? Who knows it? Verse 8. Nope. What is it? It's B. Be self-controlled and alert. Are you?
Come on.
Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. When's the last time you got ready in the morning thinking about that? I have an enemy. I am at war spiritually. The devil's been kicked out of heaven. He is on earth. He's serious. His time is short. And he's coming after me.
Come on.
There we go.
Especially if you're a Christian, then he's definitely coming after you. Because he's already got everybody else living his way. Remember, he leads the whole world astray. So what's his goal in the morning if he's a focused devil? is who's not astray. That's my target. I'm going to lead them astray. So if you're a Christian, and Peter's writing to Christians, he says, you better be self-controlled and be alert. Because you have an enemy. Again, we got to stop living like we don't. And he's not an aimless enemy. He's not a distracted enemy. He's a very focused enemy. And he's prowling around. Just looking. Who can I devour?
Yep.
Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of struggles. You know, we got to get this on straight. If you have a chance of surviving this war, you got to know who your enemy is, and we got to put on our spiritual armor.
Yep.
We don't have time to get into all that today. We're just going to start with step number one.
Come on.
Know your enemy.
Yep.
Amen? Yep. So that when the day of evil comes, you'll be able to take your stand against, the title of the message today, the devil's schemes. Genesis chapter 3.
Come on, bro.
In Genesis chapter 3, we're going to look at the Garden of Eden.
Come on.
You know, there's a exhibit Joe told me about down by Millennium Park. Maybe if y'all married couples or dating couples or singles going on dates, whatever, you're looking for a place to have a good time, there's an exhibit called In Search of Paradise. And it's pictures of all the beautiful gardens from around the world. Maybe you'd enjoy walking over there. And Millennium Park's not too shabby itself. Just to walk through. I'm sure they all pale in comparison to the garden God Himself planted.
Yep.
Can you imagine how beautiful the Garden of Eden was? All those fruit trees everywhere. Just get to kind of live there amongst the animals. Paradise, right? What's your definition of paradise? You ever think about that? Kenny Chesney wrote a song. I love country music.
Come on.
Kenny wrote a song called No Shoes, No Shirt, and No Problem. And I grew up in East Texas, and I saw signs everywhere, no shoes, no shirt, no service.
Yeah.
You know, don't you be coming in here not dressed properly. You know what I mean? Kind of like the wedding banquet when God takes that guy that's not dressed right and he gets thrown out where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Yep.
You know what I'm talking about? That's what I'm talking about. But Kenny wrote this song, goes something like this. I've been up to my neck working 6 days a week. Can I get an amen?
Yeah.
Wearing holes in the shoes on my feet.
Yeah.
Been dreaming of getting away since I don't know. Ain't no better time than now for Mexico. No shoes, no shirt, and no problems. Blues? What blues? Hey, I forgot them. The sun and the sand and a drink in my hand with no bottom. No shoes, no shirt, no problems. Is that your definition of paradise? For as a Christian, that was mine. Actually, laying on the beach somewhere, drinking pina coladas, chilling out with no problems, no pressing obligations, no deadlines, no time clock. You can say amen, you loosen up a little bit. But see, you already know me, but you're afraid to say amen because then you know I'm going to go, but that's not paradise.
Come on.
Yeah.
You already know me too well.
Come on, bro.
Really, would you be satisfied with that kind of paradise? Would you be? See, we always want a little bit more, don't we?
Yeah.
See, right away, you're there, it's gorgeous, no problems, but you're alone. So is that paradise?
No.
Well, no. That's why the next thing he writes is, babe, let's get packed. See what I mean? He doesn't want to go alone. He says, babe, let's get packed. Tank tops and flip-flops if you got them. You know what I'm saying?
Come on.
Let's go together. See, I wouldn't be satisfied on this beautiful island all by myself. I'd have to have one of my dreams right there. Then I'd be satisfied, right? Just day after day of just chilling. No problem. But see, the problem is that even possible? No, this is a fantasy. That's what it is. Because we're never satisfied, are we? It's human nature. It's called greed. Lust. We always want just a little bit more, don't we?
That's right.
I believe many times that's how the devil gets us.
That's right.
Because how much is enough? Just a little bit more. You know what I'm talking about? Hey, we got a girlfriend. Is that enough? No, man, we want to get married. We get married. Is that enough? No, we got kids, right? We're always rushing to the next step. Right? Then we get kids, and I know because once I got married, what did my parents want? They wanted grandkids. Right? Then the pressure comes. How about job? You get a job. Are you satisfied? You want a better job. Then are you satisfied? No, you want a career. You want a corner office. You want a higher floor. You with me?
Yeah.
So often, we're just not satisfied with what we have. I believe the reason why so many people are anxious, depressed. I believe the reason why we struggle in our current century with so much mental illness and emotional illness, I believe is tied to this insatiable desire that we have for more. Really, it's a selfishness that we have. One psychologist, when he was asked, what would you do if you were on the verge of a nervous breakdown? You know what he said? I'd go right out into the street, find the very first person in need, and help them out. Our world is so self-consumed. Everything goes through a filter of, how does this affect me? And I believe that's why we have so many mental, emotional, depressive problems in our world today. Because we're so selfish. I've always believed the journey to be like Jesus is a journey from selfishness to selflessness.
Yep. Wow.
And that's what our life's all about. Paradise doesn't happen tomorrow, 5 years, 10 years, because we always have an idea of what it will be when we're good to go.
Yeah.
Right? But you can enter paradise today when you become poor and crucified. I believe with all my heart, Jesus leads us to paradise.
Yeah.
And to true paradise. It's not about our surroundings. It's not about what we have on the outside. It is an understanding of what Jesus taught. It's better to give than to receive. It is truly putting a focus on other people. Well, let's go to the Garden of Eden, where we're going to look at two people that were in paradise, but they weren't satisfied. Chapter 3, verse 1. It says here, now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat the fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. You will not surely die, the serpent said to the woman. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good from evil. When the woman saw the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig trees together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees in the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." He said, "Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree I commanded you not to eat from?" Man said, "The woman you put here with me. She gave me some of the fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you've done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God proceeded to give out some consequences to each person for their sin right there in the garden.
Yeah.
The devil schemes. You know, the truth is that ancient serpent, the devil or Satan, is using the same approach in our modern world with you as the serpent used in the Garden of Eden.
Okay, bro, fill up.
And if we can learn a few valuable lessons for how that crafty serpent pulled Eve and Adam astray, I believe it will equip you to be more self-controlled and alert as your enemy, the devil, prowls around looking for you.
All right, bro.
The devil schemes. First, Satan wants us to get confused about God's standards. Look at what the serpent did with Eve. What's the first thing he said? "Did God really say you couldn't eat from any tree in the garden?" Now, is that what God said?
No.
No, that's not even what God said. Do you really think the serpent thought that's what God said?
No.
No, he knew exactly what God said. And Eve did too. So she came back. No. We can eat from any tree. Just not that one in the center. And by the way, we can't even touch it or we'll die. Satan wants you to fall in the same way. He wants you to get confused about God's standards for your life. And he will whisper in your ear. He'll do it through other people to try to twist your understanding of Scripture. We need to know God's Word accurately and develop deep convictions. Look at our world today. One Bible and over 500 different denominations of churches. You know what I'm talking about here?
No.
You go to school with them. You work with people. They go to all different churches. People won't admit it. But you know what? They are so confused. About God's Word.
Yes, they really are.
They go to church every Sunday, but they don't read the Bible.
That's right.
And they don't know the Word of God.
Wow. Come on, bro.
So many people say they're Christians. But are they really? Or has Satan succeeded in making them think they're okay? Go to church every Sunday. But really, they're just as lost as any other non-believer there is.
Wow. That's true.
Think about it. He's already got all the people that don't go to church. I think a long time ago, he started gunning for those that do.
Yeah.
And that's where false religion came from. Read your Bible. False prophets, false teachers. It's all through the Scriptures.
Yeah.
You can't just leave because someone stands up and goes, "I'm preaching for the true God," that they really are.
Right.
You can't take my word for it. You've got to get in the Scriptures and have deep convictions of your own.
Yeah.
All these people claim to be Christians. Are they watching their life and their doctrine closely? 1 Timothy 4:16. That's what we're urged to do there by Paul.
Right.
We watch our life closely. Watch our doctrine closely. See what 1 Peter self-controlled and alert.
Yep.
Because there's an enemy, there's a war, and so I got to be very, very careful about knowing the Bible for real and about living it out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
Is that what we see amongst those that claim to be Christians? Is that what we've even seen in our own churches? We've got to watch our life and doctrine closely, because the devil's schemes include trying to get you confused about what God really says.
Yeah, that's the scheme. Come on.
Once you do, you lose your conviction. We've all read the polls. I remember reading a poll years and years ago when I was young in the ministry. About 30 people that claim the Bible is the Word of God. They don't doubt it. It is the Word of God. Those 30 people were asked, do you read it with regularity? 1 out of 30 did. People that claim they believe it and stake their lives on it.
Yep.
They asked simple questions like, what are the names of the four Gospels and who gave the Sermon on the Mount? And they couldn't answer them.
Wow.
We've got to know our Scriptures.
That's right, yeah. Come on.
Do you know the Bible? Do you obey the Bible? You know, Anthony was telling me, he studied the Bible with a guy this week, and they looked at John 8, 31, 32. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teachings, if you obey me, then you're really my disciple. Then you know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You know what this guy said to Anthony? He said, you know, I don't really feel free, so I must not know the truth. Pretty logical, isn't it? So how are you feeling today? Are you free? I'm not saying you can totally trust your feelings. You may have a lot of feelings. We that are disciples know that doesn't mean we obey our feelings. We obey the Word of God. That is, if we know what the Word says. I believe Satan wants to get you by getting you to obey your feelings. And if he can do that, he wins. Your enemy, the devil, can drag you astray like he wants to. You know, another issue of confusion. What the heck was Eve doing talking to a serpent in the first place? I mean, come on! Why is she talking to this slippery snake?
Yeah. Tell us, Rob.
Do you get confused about God's standards from the people you're talking to? If so, maybe you're talking to the wrong people. You know what I'm saying?
Come on.
Our God is not a God of confusion, but of clarity.
Yeah.
And so if you're talking to people, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, but you're looking at their life and they're not living by Scriptures, something is wrong.
Yeah, absolutely, bro.
And you know, we got to make sure that we're surrounding ourselves, especially the people that we trust, that we get input from in our lives, are people that know the Word of God. Who do you talk to? Who do you listen to? Who do you get advice from? Proverbs 12, verse 5 says, the plans of the righteous are just, but the advice of the wicked is deceitful. Wow. You're talking to a righteous person. Those are just plans. Those are awesome plans. But if you're getting advice from someone that's wicked, their advice is going to be deceitful.
Yeah,
it's going to lead you astray.
That's right.
So you better look at the proof in the pudding of their life before you put a lot of stock in what they're telling you you ought to do.
Wow. Right.
Come on, bro.
No wonder he was confused. We got to make sure we know Scriptures. There's one thing I want to challenge you in the church.
Come on.
Okay.
I want to challenge every member of the church to start asking each other one question.
Come on.
Because, you know, I get lots of phone calls through the week. Talk to a lot of people about the troubles in their life. You know what I'm talking about? And if you're one of those people that call me this week, don't get nervous in your seat. That's what we do. We talk with each other, amen? And we need to be open about the troubles we're having in our life. I respect that.
Yep.
Frederick Douglass says, without struggle, there is no progress. if you're not struggling and fighting through, you won't have any progress in your life.
Right.
That's a whole other awesome country song. I'm just a work in progress. Amen? Who are my country fans out there? I know Deborah and I know we got a few here. Let me tell you about the conversation I had with Jay Shellbrack this week. Amen. I was trying to help my brother Jay. No, amen. When we talk with each other and we talk about our problems and our struggles, I want you to start asking a question. And I want you to ask me when I tell you what I'm struggling with. What scripture is helping you out with that?
Great question.
Let's just be honest. And I know how you feel. Did somebody tell the minister what I'm struggling with? Because he's talking to me more than you feel that way right now. Okay? I hurt when I talk to my brothers and sisters who are sharing the same sob story for the 30th time with no progress. You'll never have progress unless you take the word of God and obey it.
That's right.
Remember when Jesus healed the paralytic? He healed the paralytic. He said, your sins are forgiven. Take your mat. And what were the people in the crowd thinking? This is blasphemy. Jesus knew what they were thinking. See, I don't know what you think until you tell me. You know, so, and sometimes I'm grateful for that. But Jesus knew what they're thinking. And he said, why do you entertain evil thoughts in your minds? We got to get a lot more serious about the war in our minds, guys.
Yeah, come on.
We entertain evil thoughts far too often. Are you with me?
Yeah.
We do, guys. We entertain these thoughts that are not godly, that are not righteous. That's why when Peter tried to rebuke Jesus in Matthew 16, he said, don't even talk about the fact that you're gonna die, Jesus. He goes, get thee behind me, Satan. Mm. That's what he said to Peter.
Yep. Come on.
One of his best friends, the guy he gave the keys of the kingdom to just a little bit earlier.
Wow.
Why'd he call him Satan? He wasn't saying your whole character is one to lead people astray. It's not that deep. Very simply, the words he was saying weren't really coming from him. He said, man, that looks like my friend Peter, but those words are not godly words. He said, get thee behind me, Satan. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. Satan will come at you in many different forms. He came, I believe, you can argue, was the serpent in the garden really Satan? Well, what he was saying sure was.
Yeah.
Peter, what he was saying was.
No.
People that talk to you, you got to go, are those the words of God? Mm. Or is that the words of men, which is really the words of Satan?
Come on.
Why do you let yourself think evil thoughts? We got to take our thoughts captive.
Yep. Yeah, that's right.
If our thoughts aren't the very thoughts that Jesus would be having, we got to stop even pondering them for a second. Because that's the war.
Yep.
If Satan can get you to lose the war in here, then you'll start losing the war in how your thoughts manifest themselves.
Yep. Right.
Through your words and through your actions.
Come on, Bruce.
Second, Satan wants us to doubt God's motives and intentions. See, Eve knew what God commanded. When he tried to confuse her, she didn't get confused, did she? She stood strong, sisters.
Yep.
She said, oh, no, that's not what he said. He said, just the center tree, and by the way, you can't even touch it. You right?
Yep.
She knew the word. But he wasn't done. Satan had another scheme. He wanted her to doubt God's motives and intentions. What'd he say next? He said, well, you won't surely die. The truth is, you'll be like God if you eat it. You'll know good from evil. What does that do? That makes Eve start going, really? You mean, I won't die if I eat it? Really, I'll be like God? That's exactly what Satan wants to do to you. He wants you to start doubting God's working in your life.
He does.
Yep.
He wants you to not think God is working in your life for your own good.
Yep.
Instead, He wants you to think, why is God trying to control my life?
Mm.
And see, the way God works today is He works through people. So you guys with me here?
Yep. Come on.
What Satan wants you to think, those men and women that are in your life, that are reading the Bible to you, that are calling you to obey the Scriptures for your own sake. Why are they trying to control my schedule? Why are they trying to control my life? And we start to doubt motives and intentions. Guys, here's my heart. I want you guys to make it all the way to heaven. I don't want you to get led astray. And I know many of you have already been led astray. Okay? But not all the way gone, or you wouldn't be here.
Come on.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Satan wants you all the way gone.
Yeah.
He's the enemy.
Yeah.
And today, I'm just a voice of God saying, do not quit. Do not give up.
Yeah.
Do not fall for Satan's schemes.
Yeah.
Do not doubt your father's motives or intentions.
Yeah.
Wow.
Come on.
Yeah, man, his discipline may not feel good at the moment, but it's what you need. It's what's good and right for you.
Amen.
It's the only way you're going to make it. You know, you're trying to help other people if you're a true disciple. You're trying to get in other people's lives and call them to the Scriptures. What Scripture's helping you through this? Far too often, there is no Scripture helping anybody through it. They're not looking to the Scriptures. They're just getting slapped around and led by the nose by Satan through life. But you're trying to help them. But you know what Satan's whispering in their ear? Satan's saying to the person you're trying to help, you know, you don't have to listen to that Roger guy. He's telling you got to be a sold out disciple. You got to really obey all the Scriptures. You don't have to listen. God loves you. You know, you don't have to listen to Cynthia as she's studying the Scriptures with you. Because she's teaching you the Scriptures and she's trying to help you understand. You guys wondering who Cynthia is? Just some person. Cynthia's teaching somebody the Scriptures and the person goes, Satan goes, you know what? You don't have to listen to that Cynthia because she doesn't understand your life. She doesn't understand what you go through. So you don't have to really listen as she shows you the Word of God.
Come on.
You know, that Chris Williams guy, he's been teaching you the Word. You don't really have to listen to him because there's no way God's going to let you go to hell for your sin. If you just believe in Jesus, you're going to make it.
Wow.
But this is how the devil's working, guys, and he's working overtime.
Yeah.
And you're the one God's working through to help these people. It is a war and the battle's on, guys.
Yep, that's right.
The battle's on. And we can't be distracted. We can't be weak. We've got to be laser focused.
That's right.
Come on, bro.
Just like Satan really is. Third point.
Come on.
Satan wants us to rationalize our sin.
Wow.
Satan wants us to minimize our sin. And that's what he did. Of everything Satan told her, I believe what Satan said, yes, I believe it was the fuel that ignited her desires and caused her temptation that eventually led to her disobeying God Almighty. You understand this, guys? When we disobey the Word, we disobey God Almighty.
Right.
Wow.
And we rationalize that in our mind. What'd she do? She looked at the fruit and she said, she saw that it was pleasing to the eye. You with me here?
Yep.
That it was good for food and profitable, desirable for gaining wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
Look up here. Here's this fruit. She's rationalizing why she could go ahead and eat it, much less touch it. God Almighty said, don't do it. I commanded you, don't do it. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. Come on.
But she did it. Satan wants you, even though you know with every fiber of your being, God Almighty said, don't do that. You know with every fiber of your being, God Almighty said, go do that. But you're rationalizing why you don't need to go do that.
Come on.
Are you with me here?
Yep.
And it is God Almighty
with you, bro,
that you're going to face on the last day. No one's going to be with you at the judgment seat. This blame shifting that they did, that ain't going to cut it.
Nope.
Oh, the woman!
Come on.
God's going to say, well, Adam, Eve is going to be 10 minutes. That's her appointment. Right now, I'm with you.
Yep.
Here's the consequences of your sin.
Yep. Come on.
Eve, the serpent! Maybe you're going to say, but Satan tempted me. God's going to say, hell's reserved for him forever. But we're talking about you right now. Are you with me?
Yep.
Yeah.
Come on.
Come on, bro.
I want to make you aware of the devil's schemes.
Yep.
Proverbs 10:17.
Come on.
Come on, bro. Great stuff.
This here is a scary scripture. Proverbs 10:17. He who heeds discipline shows the way to life. Is that awesome? But whoever ignores correction leads others astray. You guys with me here?
Yep.
What this scripture tells me is that we are either an instrument for God or an instrument for Satan, depending on how we choose to live our life. Not only does our sin affect us, but it absolutely does have consequences for the people that are around us. When we sin, it can tempt others to rationalize their sin. Even though we know, brothers and sisters, Hebrews 10 teaches us we should not be in the habit of missing meetings of the body. Amen? When we miss church, it can cause somebody else to rationalize why it's okay for them to miss.
Wow. Come on.
When we walk through our day like any other non-Christian, not walking as an ambassador for Christ,
come on,
to reach out and bring others to Christ, we make others feel that it's okay for them to walk through their day selfish, lazy, cowardly.
Wow.
Because other Christians are doing it.
Come on,
but that's not Jesus.
Right.
We cannot rationalize our sin. Guys, I've sat here with some of you and talked long and hard how you're rationalizing your sin. I've done it in my own life. Come on, this isn't so bad. What does the Word of God say? What we do affects other people. For good or for bad. When we rationalize disobedience, it's a terrible example to others. It causes them to question the standards of God because they see us doing it. We need to set an example that can be imitated as we imitate the life and heart of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And finally,
come on.
Satan's greatest scheme and the greatest consequence for our sin is what? Our eternal separation from God.
There it is.
Isaiah 59:1-2 says, surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor His ear too dull to hear. But your iniquity has separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden His face from you so that He will not hear you. Sin separates us from God. When Adam and Eve had sinned, and God came walking in the garden, what'd they do? Did they run up to their God? God, it didn't see you. They were hiding.
Yeah.
Isn't that how you feel after you've sinned? You feel awesome after you've sinned? After you've just went on a fit of rage? Screamed at your husband or your wife or your kids or your parents? You feel awesome and ready to hug God when He walks in the door? No, you want to hide. Who wants you to hide from God? Do you want to hide from God? You think God wants you to hide from God?
No.
Your enemy, the devil, wants you to hide from God.
Right.
That is the absolute consequence for our sin. They were shamed. They started blame shifting.
Yeah.
And they hid from their God. Satan wants us to hide from the only one that can help us with what we're going through. Is our God. And he wants us to hide. You know, I really appreciate Greg and what he shared earlier.
Yeah.
And he shared how searching his life, the emptiness, how it led him to a place where he was so separated from God. But you know what blows me away? Is no matter how much we've sinned, God continues to search for us. If you're here today, that's just because of God's grace. He gave us one more day to try to learn, to try to be aware of how our enemy's trying to take us out. And I don't want you to think about today's lesson, how it affects your neighbor. I want you to think about what this means for you. Is Satan getting you to doubt God's standards? Be confused about God's standards? Doubt God's motives and intentions in your life? Is he getting you to rationalize your sin? Is Satan succeeding in getting you separated, led astray from your God and His awesome kingdom? Let me tell you, Greg said he's lived out there. And even though you go through pain in here in the church, you still go through pain, right?
Yeah.
And struggles. But we go through it together.
Yeah.
And we try to help each other. Don't quit. Hang on. Because what's it like out there when you're going through all those troubles and you don't have a room full of people like this calling you?
Yeah.
Encouraging you. Yeah. Begging you to do what's right.
Yeah.
Instead, maybe you're with people that'll just go dig down in the pit with you. And lead you further down into that pit. The good news, 1 Corinthians 10 teaches that no temptation has seized you except that which is common to man. And God is faithful. He will provide a way out for you. God's so amazing that He still loves you. And He's still searching for you. Proverbs 12. Look there with me.
Come on, bro.
Proverbs 12, verse 1. I want to read scripture that I read a lot more in my early days in the ministry. I haven't read this one a lot to people lately. But I think I probably should. I should probably read it a lot more.
This is a good one, bro. This is a good one.
Proverbs 12, 1. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge. But whoever hates correction is stupid.
Bible.
I remember the very first time I ever learned that the word stupid was in the Bible.
It's the Bible.
You know what I mean? It's in there.
Amen.
Now, you know what it means to be stupid, right?
Oh, yeah.
Does anyone want to be stupid?
Yeah,
let me tell you something.
Come on.
When we hide from God, we've allowed Satan to get us to hide from the only one that can help us. I think that's pretty stupid. I've always been told sin makes you stupid. It does. That fruit made Eve stupid. She gave up paradise. She gave up the Garden of Eden. Because it looked desirable and pleasing to her. Guys, you're with me. We've done it, eh?
Yep.
Maybe that's why it's so quiet in here.
Come on.
My prayer for us today is that we'll search and take the way God provides, the way out that He promises to provide us in every situation. It's always there. It's there every time we're tempted to be ungodly.
Yep.
You with me here?
Yep.
Yeah.
Guys, I hope you're not sitting there beating yourself up because you're some stupid, stinking sinner. See, here's the bottom line. I thought you already knew that. I mean, when we admit it, let's admit we're stupid. If you'll just admit it, okay, the pressure's off.
Yeah, here we go. Amen.
Maybe, you know, I wanted to put our initials of the church up on the website, Chicago National Christian Church, CICC, but Joe's like, but then people go sick. Well, maybe that's what we are.
Yeah.
It's not the healthy who need a doctor, it's the sick. It's okay, you can relax, guys. We're not trying to impress each other here.
That's right.
Yeah.
We're weak, we're frail, we blow it. What I'm trying to help us understand is it's Satan that wants us to lose.
Yeah.
We just want each other to succeed.
Yeah.
And to do awesome.
Right, that's right.
And to be with God. My prayer is that we'll trust God's motives, intentions. He's not trying to control you. People studying the Bible with you, they're not trying to control you. They're trying to love the tar out of you.
Yeah.
And help you love the tar out of God. Amen. We got to stop rationalizing our sin. God has laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed.
Yeah.
Psalm 119. We got to get open with God and get open with righteous men and women about our sin. James 5:16.
Yeah.
And then we got to come near to God. And God promises if you do, He will come near to you. And that is James 4:8.
Come on.
2 Corinthians 5:19. God does not want to count your sins against you.
Amen.
But He's reconciling the world to Himself. The world Satan has led astray. He wants to reconcile it through Jesus Christ's blood to Himself. We got to put on the full armor of God so we can take our stand against the devil's schemes. Revelation 12, we'll close there.
Come on.
Let's go back where we began. Talking about the devil's schemes.
Come on, bro. Great.
Amen. Revelation 12, guys. So how do we overcome? We spent the whole sermon talking about how Satan's ripping us apart. Gosh almighty. But guys, if you don't know that, you won't be alert when you wake up tomorrow morning.
That's right.
You won't be alert when you leave here tonight.
Yep.
Right. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Do you love your life so much that you're shrinking from death? I'm not talking about physical death. Jesus says, if you want to follow me, you've got to deny yourself. You've got to take up your cross. If we want to follow Jesus, it means we have to deny ourselves. Whatever we're feeling, we got to say, that's what I'm feeling, but I'm going to deny that and do what Jesus Christ tells me to do.
That's right.
I'm going to obey the Scriptures, not my feelings. We cannot shrink back from death, brothers and sisters. Hebrews says if you shrink back from death, what happens? I will not be pleased with you if you shrink back. So we got to decide today, guys, we're going to put on the full armor and we are not going to shrink back.
Amen.
How are you going to overcome? The blood of the Lamb.
Yep.
And the word of your testimony. You know that song we sing? In church we sing, I want to hear my name. I'm coming up, Lord, and I'm coming up soon. I want to hear my name. Guess what? I think God sings that song too. I think God's in heaven looking down on us singing, I want to hear my name. The word of our testimony. You know, I remember calling this telemarketer called me one time, this woman. Whenever a telemarketer calls me, I'm not interested in what they're calling me about, but I always feel like, hey, I may never meet this person. Let me just see if they live in a city where there's a church and invite them to church. So I'm like, hey, I want to invite you to my church. Where do you live? And she told me, she goes, you know what? I know God's here for me anytime I need Him. All I have to do is close my eyes. God's right there. See, the question is, are you there anytime God needs you? That's a relationship. That's so awesome that we just think God's just there at my beck and call, like He's our butler instead of our Lord.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But are we in the relationship? Are we there whenever God needs us?
Wow.
Come on.
The only way we're going to overcome is by the blood of the Lamb. God was there for you in a way no one else ever could be. No one else ever could be. I saw a movie yesterday. I'm going to close with this. And I'm not even almost quite done, so hold on to your seat. It's called A Knight's Tale. You ever seen it?
Yep.
It's like a rock and roll jousting type movie, and so, you know, I love it. It's awesome. It's about this guy who wants to be a knight, but he's born a peasant. And only royalty gets to be knights. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. But he wants to be one anyway. So he fights. He can't do it at all, but he learns. He puts on his armor, he gets his sword, and he learns how to swing that sword. He learns how to joust. And then he meets a guy that forges some paperwork. Okay, now that's not the right part of the story, but it enables him to joust. And he wins. And through the story, he comes up against this bad dude. He's like the Satan character in the story. You know, there's always that evil Satan character in the story, right? And he wants to defeat this guy. And you know what? We got to want to defeat Satan in our lives. We got to resist the devil and stand firm, brothers and sisters. Are you with me here?
Yeah.
So he's battling, but by the end of the story, this evil guy finds out he's not for real. And he reveals it. That's another thing that's going to happen, guys. All our lies, they're going to be revealed.
Yeah.
They're going to come out. You may think you're sitting pretty right now. It's all going to come out, either here or at the final judgment. And it comes out. And he's in the stocks, caught. People are throwing vegetables at his head. It's bad news. And his guys are there with him, trying to get people to stop, and they're throwing vegetables at them too. You know, so I'm like, well, there's another spiritual analogy. When you stand there together for people getting persecuted, you get persecuted too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, lo and behold, Prince Edward, son of King Edward, is there in the crowd. Who's seen this movie? Oh, dude, it's awesome. So Prince Edward is there in the crowd, and he reveals himself, and he steps up. And when he steps up, well, everybody stops throwing their vegetables. You know what I'm talking about? Because you throw it at royalty, you're just going to be eating them off the ground and you're going to be in trouble. So, he gets up there and he basically sets the guy free. And the reason is, earlier in the story, there was a joust. Now, Prince Edward wanted to joust. But you aren't supposed to joust against anybody in the royal family. Because if you knowingly endanger anyone in the royal family, you're in big trouble. And so, whenever he would come to joust, he would also disguise himself as not being royalty, so someone would joust him. But everyone, when they saw it was him, they would always withdraw from the battle. And they wouldn't fight him. Well, here comes our hero, William. He doesn't withdraw. He goes ahead and jousts him, and then they meet in the middle of the field, and he goes, basically, good match. And he goes, you too, Prince Edward. He takes off his helmet. The whole crowd's like, they can't believe a member of the royal family. He goes, you knew who I was? He goes, yeah. And you fought me anyway? He said, it's not in me to withdraw. Come on, man. We got to get that in us, guys.
Right.
If we're a disciple of Jesus Christ, it cannot be in us to withdraw.
That's right. Wow.
Wow. So at the end of the story, he's up there in the stocks, but Prince Edward stands up and he says to him, "Release him." You may think he's of humble origin, but my personal historians have discovered he's descendant from an ancient royal line. And this being my word, it is beyond contestation. That means I said it, and that's the way it is. And he sets him free. And then right there, he tells him to take a knee, and he knights him, Sir William. And everybody's like, "Yeah, this is incredible." Guys, that's exactly what's going to happen for us on the last day.
Yep.
When we're in the stocks, and our accuser, Satan, is before God, telling him all the evil things we've done. And you know what? Most of them is true. Doesn't say he accuses us for false things. He needs to accuse us for the things that we've really done. Are you guys with me?
Yeah.
That's when Jesus is going to say, "Hey, this is my child. And that's my word. And it's beyond contestation."
Come on now.
Amen.
But that's not the end of the story. There's one more little part. After he knights him, he goes, "I think you have a jousting to go finish." And he goes straight into the battle for the final match against that evil Satan dude. And this guy at the end of his jousting stick, I don't even know what you call it, he put a metal point. And so in the first pass, it goes right into his chest, and this piece of wood is sticking out of his chest. You know what I'm saying? And he just takes it and he goes, "Pull it out." He goes, "We got to get a doctor." He goes, "You're the doctor. Pull it out." Oh, right. Big hole in his armor. He ain't quitting though, right? So he takes the stick again and he goes to joust. But he can't even hold it up. He's so weak. You ever feel that way? He can't even get it up. And he gets hit again. In jousting, you pass three times. Whoever wins the most is going to win. So the other guy has two already. So the only way he could win is to knock him clear off his horse or kill him, basically. He can't even breathe in his armor. He takes his armor off. He can't breathe. He can't lift this thing. So he looks at his helper and he says, "Strap it to me." They take his jousting stick and they just strap it to him. And he goes through the final pass with no armor, no helmet, and this thing, and he's just riding. You ever feel that way in battle? You're wounded in the spiritual battle, but you're not going to quit, and you're just looking at the devil saying, "Bring it on!" And he screams and he sticks that thing and knocks him clear off his horse. And here's why I said all that is to say this. Prince Edward's in the stands. And he's watching this battle. And he's going, "Ooh, it's going to look good." When he dehorses that guy, Prince Edward, who in this analogy is Jesus, amen, he goes, "Yeah!"
Come on.
He's fired up because his soldier just had victory.
Come on.
I want to send you out this week aware of the spiritual battle.
Amen.
You have an enemy, he's going to come after you. He's going to try to get you confused about the Bible. He's going to try to get you to doubt your God and to doubt God's people in your life. He's going to try to get you to rationalize your sin so that he can separate you from God forever. You resist him. You put on the full armor. You take him on. And you be like the centurion. In the Bible, when that centurion had such faith, it astonished Jesus Christ. And you let Jesus this week say, "Amen. That is my child. Fighting the battle. Amen."